This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrimmage Play podcast. And we are obviously in full swing now with spring sports. A lot of different teams are finally getting in a ton of games. It looks like we've shaken off most of the weather woes, and we're driving, although tonight when we're recording, very cold and windy out at a soccer game that I was at. We're obviously learning a lot about teams right now. We're getting a lot in there, but we're going to start with the C&G Smooth Operators of the Week, and you got to see one out at Fluvanna Luiza Baseball that's an easy pick.
Yeah, I mean, you take the two games that he had back-to-back between Orange County and Luiza County. Fluvanna County's Andrew Ward, coming off of an injury from last year, Tommy John surgery, and he's really getting it done with the bat right now. Two-game stretch, he goes 4-for-8, 5 runs scored, 5 RBI, and probably none more important than the one that he had that sort of got Fluvanna off to that 3-run rally in the 7th against Luiza. They were able to steal a win there. Really great baseball game that was back and forth. Fluvanna was up early in that one. Luiza comes back, has a 2-run lead in the 7th, and Fluvanna with their backs against the wall, just sort of, you know, very slowly but surely putting runners in on base and eventually in scoring position. And Ward, he's a big kid. He can really do some damage. He had a nice fly ball out into the outfield there, scores a run, and gets them rolling there. And, I mean, that's a really big week for Fluvanna baseball. They got to be really happy with what they go into Monticello, Orange, and Luiza, and they're just swinging the bats really well. And right now, I mean, in the middle of that order, Andrew Ward offering a lot of power to an order that already has size, speed, and power to begin with. So they got to be happy with what the sophomore brings to the table after not having him as a freshman.
So on the girls' side, Smooth Operator of the Week, got to be Albemarle Girls Lacrosse's Morgan Rose. That was a huge week for Albemarle. Got a new head coach with Brittany McElhaney stepping in there, the field hockey coach. She knew a lot of those players and has a lot of experience as a Division I lacrosse player, and it seemed like it was seamless, the transition from between her taking over. It just went well because they started with Western and Monticello in week one of her tenure. And they picked up a pair of wins in, you know, a huge performance in the second half in both of those. And Morgan Rose had 4 goals in the first one, 4 goals in the second one. Albemarle girls lacrosse is so dangerous. A lot of different people, a lot of different weapons. But Morgan Rose obviously was just producing in both those games. She is a knack for scoring goals, whether it's in field hockey or whether it's in lacrosse. She just has that kind of ability, that kind of, you know, kind of killer instinct, and it just kind of takes over. And to pick up those two wins, huge for Albemarle girls lacrosse. That sets them up really nicely as we start kind of moving forward.
Yeah, and that was just a big week for JD lacrosse in general when you have those two games. And we've seen Western and Monticello sort of be front runners in the last couple of years. And for Albemarle to get back to that, I mean, this was a team that used to be the team to beat.
And not only that, like, that's just a straight-up round robin. Albemarle girls lacrosse beat Western last year twice. They beat Monticello. I mean, like, those three teams are just very, very close. They're one or two goals apart. But Albemarle really stretched it out against Monticello in that second half. I mean, Kelsey Myers, Jen Wendelkin, Rose, they've got a great, you know, the keeper and defense, they're really good. They do a great job of transitioning the ball out. Albemarle is a pretty complete team, and I think that if they can kind of keep it rolling and keep going, I mean, they've just got kids who know how to win, too. There's Anna Murray, there's Rose, there's win, you know, kids that have won a lot of lacrosse games, won a lot of field hockey games, Pinata. I mean, just a ton of kids that can really, you know, get it done for them, and they just have options on options on options.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, obviously, a big week, and it continues Tuesday night. It's a 7-day period where Western and Monticello are going to play to kind of round out this first series of round robins where they've all played each other. Just like you said, a really big week in girls lacrosse. But for this time, you know, this podcast, we definitely want to focus on three baseball teams and three softball teams that have really stood out to start the year. And let's start on baseball. You know, and obviously, pretty easy to point to this squad because they won a state title last year. But Miller Baseball has also played a ton of games. We got a pretty good idea of who they are now.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy for a team at this point in the year to have played 19 games.
19 games.
Game number 20 coming up tomorrow against Fishburn. So we'll get to see them back in action pretty quick here. Yeah, you look at Miller Baseball and they really. They schedule these games. I mean, they've done this in previous seasons where they're playing like 40 games in a year. And they do this to build depth. You know, this is a program that's looking to build an arsenal of arms. It's about player development and really sort of giving these kids a lot of innings to work with because they don't really care necessarily the win results early on in the season. They just care about are these players developing. And so it's cool when they go, you know, their spring break and all this stuff. They're playing like every single day. Now they get back into sort of a three-game-a-week schedule, two-game-a-week, start playing some VIC opponents and stuff like that. But it's, yeah, it's a familiar face.
The teams they're playing are really good, too, yeah. Right? When they go down south, they're playing
They don't mess around. And that's also on purpose. You hear Billy Wagner talk about, I want these kids to see good mid-80 stuff, high 80 stuff, because, I mean, it's going to mean a lot to them. If you see good pitching in March and April, you're going to be able to hopefully hit good pitching come April and May. So that's important for them. And yeah, you don't, if you come out of that just run ruling everybody, I don't think you accomplish anything, on that end of things. And when you're Miller and you're worried about a Greenbrier Christian, you know, one of their big rivals, they got a game with them coming up soon. When those are the teams that you're competing with at the state level in that last, week of the season, you want to be prepped for that because they're going to throw their best stuff at you and this is how you get ready for it. Because there's a lot of games that Miller is just simply overpowering teams sometimes. And those guys know that beating a team 15-0 is a win, but how much did they sort of earn in the competitive balance of things?
And they're overpowering people because they've got a couple of guys who can really, really hit at the top of that lineup. Adam Hagenberg.
Yeah.
We already know. We've talked about him on the podcast before. An absolute animal. The guy's tremendous catcher. Got a great stick. The ball just takes off whenever he hits it. He's just been fantastic.
And when you have guys like Jack Marshall and Ethan Murray who are constantly getting on base for them, and then Carson Atkins, another big bat that hits behind Hackenberg, it's just really easy to manufacture runs that way. Jeremy Wagner. This team has a lot of good bats, but their 1-2 punch for starting pitching between Ethan Murray and Stu Barrett, it's just really hard to get around that. Those guys just chew through games. They don't need relief help. They can go all 7 innings on their own, and they both have great stuff. And they've really come back. Stu Barrett was a breakout performer last year, and he's really been that some and more this year, and taken a step and becoming. You're not looking so much at a 1-2 sort of situation. You're looking at a 1A and a 1B, and that's a pretty luxurious sort of set of pitchers to have for Miller. And so I think they'll be the team in the private schools to watch going on. Although St. Anne's has been winning some games, Woodbury's been winning some games, so we'll keep an eye on them in the prep league and see what goes on there.
Yeah, they just came out with the new VISA poll, and Miller predictably is in pretty good shape in that one. And I think that they're going to be there. They're number 2 right now in Division 2. And then Covenant is now snuck back into the bottom of Division 2. They're in the 10 spot. And then over in Division 1, you got St. Anne's is creeping in. They're in playoff position right now in 8. And you got to expect that if Woodbury can keep picking up some steam, they can kind of get in that mix too. But, you know, there's still some time. There's still about a month at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to worry about things until really the first week of May. You start prep league and VIC tournaments and stuff like that. But the final seeding, I think state title game scheduled for like May 14th, something like that. So we got a ways to go to get there. But they're going to be playing a lot of games in between there. I mean, most of the schools are playing, the private schools right now are mostly playing 3 games a week. And now because of the weather delays, the public schools are sort of on that system for the time being.
Yeah. A lot of teams. Louisa is actually like right on schedule, right? But a lot of these other teams only play 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, and some of it also depends on these teams took spring break off or not.
Right.
So that factors in. But, switching over to the public side of things, I mean, the team that came out smelling like roses last week was Fluvanna County.
Yeah.
A win over Monticello, a win over Orange, and a win over Louisa. They are sitting there with Powhatan, tied for first place, and they'll be getting them shortly. We got a Louisa Powhatan game coming up real soon here. That's going to be a big one because Louisa's only a one-loss team in the JD. They had a great week until they lost late against Fluvanna. And every time those two guys play, particularly when they play out at Louisa, it's a one-run game. It's an unbelievable stat. I think it goes back like 4 or 5 years now. But yeah, Fluvanna, between Andrew Ward, Kevin Ward, Ryan Groom, Jacob Kreitzer, that lineup is just so potent. I mean, you look what they did against Orange, and I mean, Orange throwing Cannon Davies, their number one guy, he's really good pitcher for them. Fluvanna just had his number, and they scored 8 runs in the first inning there. They had 19 hits in that game. Mm. You look at the walks and the hits that they had against Louisa, and they just sort of paired them together to get two strong rallies, you know, 3 runs there in the 7th, and I think they had 4 runs in the second inning. And then you put that Ward, Kevin Ward is a fantastic pitcher who hasn't, I mean, by Coach Joel Gray's admission, hasn't found his stuff from last year quite yet. When he finds that and you pair that with Noah Brown, who's been absolutely fantastic for them, I mean, Fluvanna's just a complete team, and they're very young.
Yeah, this is a group that was a JV team a couple of years ago that just torched it and played really well.
I think everything's just sort of coming together for them. I mean, that's who Joel Gray was coaching, was mm-hmm. all these kids. The transition between him and Sheridan has been very seamless, and you can tell this team just loves playing. They're having a lot of fun out there. It's easy to have fun when you're winning like they are. But there is just, I don't know.
Baseball's hard, right? Like, once you start pressing, baseball's just tough.
We see it all the time. Teams that are really good on paper, and if they don't have cohesion, mm-hmm. It just doesn't work out for them. And then we've seen other teams where you're just like, nothing pops out to you, but they play so well together. I mean, how many times...
I feel like you're describing every Monticello team for the last few years.
Monticello, but I mean, Monroe's made Wade runs, Monroe. Too. Any of the big playoff runs that we've seen, at least recently, have been not unexpected, but just really impressive. And that's not maybe the team that you would have picked at the start of the year to do it.
Madison County.
Yeah, that's another great one. Yeah. I mean, they just somehow in the postseason hit that switch and everything works out for
them. It might be the year for Fluvanna for that.
Yeah, they had an early exit last year. There's a lot of stuff that was going on within that program. You know, just sort of tough situations that they were dealing with. But, yeah, I think you take that, you build off of it. A good off season, you come out with a good start like they have now. If they can keep this ball rolling, it's going to be great for the district. It was last year because they had sort of a couple rebuilding years. I mean, what we have right now in the JD is exactly what we had last year, and that's to everybody's benefit. All these teams are really even. I mean, we talked at the beginning of the year about Western Albemarle, how good they are. They might have had a tough week dropping those 2 games to Powhatan and Louisa, but that's still a very good baseball team.
Yeah.
That's got wounded animal written all over it. and so I think we're going to see them bounce back and make things interesting. Albemarle had a great week. They lose to Louisa early on, but they come out and beat Monticello. So there's a lot going on JD-wise with competitive balance. There's just not a lot of difference between, you know, the top 5-6 teams in this district.
And we'll dig into the playoff stuff down the road a little bit once we kind of know how some of that's going to shake out. But obviously with realignment, you don't really know. I mean, it could be kind of a wide-open mm-hmm. sort of situation when it comes to this region. You know, we've known in the past that, you know, Fluvanna and Western have faced a very tough conference. Turner Ashby floating around that conference.
Yep.
If those teams are kind of floating around again, in the region could be a really difficult challenge for any of those teams. So
absolutely,
we'll kind of keep an eye on that as we keep moving forward. But a really big big step for, you know, all those games that happened last week that we learned a little bit about that squad. The third team that you want to talk about, obviously, Louisa County.
Yeah, you got to see them, you know, the day before against Western, and then I saw them the next day against Fluvanna. I mean, Louisa sort of has its thunder stolen from them with that Fluvanna loss because they had such a good week beating Albemarle, beating Western, and it's the way that it did it. I think it was 7-1 and 7-0.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty one-sided, but Yeah, you look at that team. You saw Grubbs pitch. We've seen him last year. The guy, he's got really good stuff.
Yeah, I think he's just really, really solid. And he had to kind of pitch through it for the first four or five innings against Western. But then he got into a groove, and I think he struck out I think he struck out the last nine. The last nine outs were strikeouts, and he only gave up like one walk in between those, you know, nine strikeouts. He had 11 for the game, so he only had two to that point. But then he just closed on a tear, really finished up well. He's a JMU commit, and to me, he looked fantastic. He obviously struggled a little bit early, but when he closes the door, it's over. I think he's just really good, and there's a ton of those kind of guys in the district right now.
Yeah, I mean, Louisa, even the Fluvanna game, you look at the job that Austin Nichols did, you know, that's not a guy who's coming in there to strike out batters. It's a guy to throw strikes and get outs. And we're going to see a lot of that from a lot of these number two and three pitchers in the district where the job isn't to come in there and just blow people away. It's not, you know, do your Bradley Hanner impression.
it's not that guy to impersonate, though.
Yeah. It's go in there and find a way to get ground ball outs and easy pop flies if you just pound the strike zone kind of thing. And I think that's – Louisa has a lot of those guys behind Grubbs, and that's good. You can't have too many of them. But that team can hit. Jack McDonald, Liam Grubbs, Tristan Snyder, Tyler Early, Matt West. I mean, they're a fast team. They're a gritty team. They play really well defensively. I mean, there weren't a lot of errors for them this week, and that bodes well. I mean, with Powhatan coming up, you look at – Louisa has a pretty interesting schedule where you're going to play Western, Fluvanna, Powhatan all within like a five-day stretch. That's a lot of really good baseball sandwiched in there, and they're going to get some breathing room down the road. We'll see them. I bet, you know, at 8-2, I think right now they're sitting pretty where they are in the standings, so they can't be too upset with the way the week ended because it was so good at the front end of it.
No question about it. So you flip over, we're headed to softball now. Three teams that you got to watch. We've gotten off to a fast start, I think, in softball with some of these teams that are playing really well right now.
Yeah, it's the usual suspects in softball. I mean, Madison is going to be good for years. They've always been good. And when you're that young and you win a state title like they did last year, you come
champs.
Back. I mean, when you look at this team right now, I mean, pitching-wise, you can't go wrong. Logan Estes could pitch every game if she wanted to. Emily Seal could pitch every game if you wanted to, but Madison's always been, you know, of the ilk that you throw one for three innings, you throw another for four, and they alternate them.
It worked well last year.
Yeah, I mean, they did this before Seal became a pitcher. You know, that was Megan Shiplett and Estes were splitting time, and it's just always been sort of their MO. They're going to do it again, and both those pitchers are so fantastic. It's just, I don't know how you beat one, much less both of them. But it's the hitting that those two bring. And then you look at Meadow Anderson, Hannah Johnson, Sophie Adams. I mean, this team is...
Hannah Johnson's dirty good, man. She's a player.
This team's just loaded with bats, and they're all quick. They're all really good runners. They've played Monroe twice already. They played Orange. This team is really, really good. And we're gonna see more from them down the road. I mean, they should be able to cruise through to their district, and they've got a game with Goochland. Hopefully that gets played in. That was canceled a while ago. But Madison is right where they should be, right on time. They haven't lost a game yet, and I think they'll continue to cruise. And then the other team to look at is Orange in the JD. I mean, maybe the best infielder that we have, period, is Lexi Lomax. It's just a phenomenal shortstop. She's not even getting to hit right now because nobody will throw to her. They're just putting her on base. I mean, her walk totals are absolutely insane. And we're going to probably see more of that. But, I mean, Orange is winning games. They're doing it. Hannah Meadows has been fantastic for them as a sophomore pitcher. And then after that, you got bats and Ashley Brazzard and Brooke Figgins. Orange looks really good. This team was really good 2 years ago. And they, you know, sort of had a little bit of a dip last year, not much of one, just a little bit, and they're right back out in front and doing a lot of damage. And a JD that I think is pretty weird. it's hard to gauge. I mean, Powhatan is a beatable team. Louise is a beatable team. In years past, that hasn't been the truth. Mm-hmm. And we've seen Monticello. They beat Fluvanna, and then they go and they beat Albemarle. So that's a team to watch. But then they lost to Monroe. So. It's hard to gauge. And that's why I think after Madison Orange, the team to really watch is Monroe. Their schedule.
That's wild to say considering their current.
I think they're 2-5 right now.
2-5.
But as their coach Greg Breeden said, like, this is after Madison Law, I think we're the best 1-5 team in the state. And I don't disagree with that at all. I think he's absolutely right. That's a team that has played a gauntlet of a schedule between Madison and Orange and had to do so without. I mean, they've got Emma Pickett coming back after an injury. She wasn't able to play because she was hurt last year. But the bats that they have in that lineup between Pickett, between Jessica Ford, Alexis Whalen, the Beal sisters, this lineup 1-9 can hit, and we know so because we saw them put up, I think it was 5 runs and 8 runs against Madison. If you're doing that against Estes and Seal, two of the best in the state, wait until they get into their district.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Monticello's a good team, and so winning 7-0 against them tonight, that matters. I think Monroe, you know, early woes for the season. They're just going to have to figure things out from a pitching depth standpoint, and they're going to be able to cruise. To beat Monroe, you're going to have to put up a pretty solid run total because those kids can mash, you know, 1-9.
So, very big couple of weeks that we've had right here, and we're going to have a ton more games that are coming up that are really big as teams move it into the heart of their district schedule. And baseball and saw it looks like we got some teams shaping up maybe to make some really deep runs. So we appreciate you listening, and we'll be back soon.